John chapter 1, we are learning about the deity of Jesus Christ. Deity meaning that Jesus is, in fact, God. He is, he was, he always will be the unchanging God. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the day. Thank you for the rain, and thank you just for allowing us to come together to sing your praises, to come before your throne of mercy, to find grace and help in our time of need, to open your holy word, and to learn about you. Father, help us to know you and to walk with you more faithfully, Lord, that we truly would step in the light. Father, I pray that you would be with the many prayer requests that are on every heart. We pray for you to comfort those who are brokenhearted, to heal those who are sick. Lord, to bring salvation to those who are unbelieving. And Lord, to help all who are believers to be true disciples walking with you. And Father, we do continually pray that you would revive our hearts. And Lord, that you would help us so that we might see the number of the disciples multiplied in this place to your glory. Please forgive us, please help, and please be with those who are unable to be with us. And we just pray that you'll help all of us to grow together in your grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. It's been a couple of weeks, but a couple of weeks ago we began a lesson on the deity of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue with that tonight. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit about the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus, the eternal God, come and manifest himself in the flesh? We read in verses 1 through 4 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But I want to draw your attention down to verse 14. The Word of God says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the eternal God, became man. God put on flesh and made himself known to mankind. And the reason he did that was to reconcile man unto himself. In the garden, man sinned against God. And because of that sin, death has passed upon all. We're all separated from God because of our sin. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. You can go back to Genesis 3:15, and God laid out the plan there. And the entire body of Scripture, our Bible, is the story of redemption. It's the story of how God would redeem mankind back unto himself. Reconciliation between man and God is not by our initiative. It didn't come from man's efforts. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh. And those who are saved, it only comes through what God has done. John 1:13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And here's the reality. Left to ourselves, we would be without hope and with God for eternity. But God loves us so much that he made a way for us to have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, 1 John 4, verse 9, the scripture says, "In this was manifested the will of God, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God has manifested, he's revealed his love toward us because Jesus came into this world so that we could have life. If we have Christ, we have life. If we don't have Christ, we do not have life. And he came to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for us. We think about to the Old Testament. We think about the sacrifices that were made. The blood of bulls and goats that were shed. They were a temporary covering, but they could not take away sin. And they foreshadowed, they typed, they forecast, they pictured, they caused the ability to look ahead to Messiah who would come and give his life, shed his blood to take away sin forever. And so we get to look at Jesus and the redemption we have through his sacrifice. Luke 19 and verse 10 says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sin. He came to seek and to save. Man, most of you are familiar with Romans 5 and verse 8. And man, we love this. God commendeth his love toward us. Amen. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And we would do well to remember. I think sometimes Christians who have been saved for a while, been in church for a while, and you've kind of grown up around Christianity, most of your friends are saved. I think it's easy for us sometimes to forget where we came from. But you need to understand today, if you have a right standing with God, it's not because you're so good. Amen. It's because of his great love. Amen. And even though we were sinners, he still died for us. He substituted for us. He made an atonement for us. And he offers eternal life to all who believe. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not salvation found in any other but Christ alone. But Jesus didn't just sacrifice himself. Jesus didn't just die. He rose again. Amen. The resurrection is the single most important truth in Scripture. Without the resurrection, we are still in our sin. Amen. Without the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, all of your loved ones that we would say they've gone on to a better place, if Jesus didn't rise again, they didn't. If he didn't rise again, there's no hope for them to rise again. Amen. And so we look at the resurrection. Henry Morris said, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God, and the Christian faith is absolute truth." Everything that we believe stands on the resurrection. If he didn't do that, then all of these things fall apart. But Christ is risen. Amen. He is alive. Amen. And we live with faith in the risen Savior. Amen. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But Christ is risen, and we have great faith." Just let me run through a couple of things for you to contemplate when you think about the resurrection and some of the reasons that we know it's true. Ultimately, it's because it's what the Word of God says. But think about the details. When Jesus died and they took his body and put him in a borrowed tomb, you remember that the Pharisees came to Pilate and they requested that there would be soldiers to guard the tomb. The tomb was guarded. People say, well, maybe Jesus didn't rise again. Maybe they stole his body. But we see the record that the tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers to prevent that from happening. Pilate gave them a watch. They made the tomb sure as they could. They sealed the stone and they set a watch. And they were guarding the tomb when Jesus rose again. And think about the fact of the empty tomb itself. If Jesus' body had still been in the tomb, the guard wouldn't have been able to give a reason why it was empty. They went around telling everybody that the Jews came and stole his body. And can you imagine the humility for a Roman soldier to say that Jews, fishermen, and others came and stole the body from them? How ridiculous is that? Amen. That armed Roman soldiers were thwarted, that these Jesus followers, these fishermen and the rest of them were able to sneak in there, open a sealed tomb, and take his body right from under their noses. No, the tomb was guarded, and the tomb was empty. Amen. A lot of people came to the tomb expecting to find Jesus there. The women came early in the morning expecting Jesus to still be in the grave. Others came expecting, and when they came, the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Amen. You think about the eyewitnesses to the resurrection. After Jesus rose again, he appeared to his disciples on several different occasions for a period of 40 days. 40 days he appeared. At one time, he appeared to over 500 brethren at once. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8 says, And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. And I want you to consider the eyewitnesses to Jesus, these people who were alive and they saw him. And when these things were written, he said, most of those people who saw the risen Savior, they're still alive and they were eyewitnesses. And when they were arrested and when they were tortured, they wouldn't deny the risen Savior. They were willing to stand. They were willing to give their lives because of what they knew to be true. There's a story told of an African Muslim who became a Christian. And his friends asked him why he became a Christian. And here's his response. He said, well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions. You didn't know which way to go. There were two men at the fork. But one was dead and one was alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? Amen. I serve a risen Savior. Amen. Our Savior is alive. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves his deity, proves that he was who he said he was, and he is who he said he is. Amen. And we serve him today. As we get ready to go into our small groups tonight, I just want to encourage you to rejoice in who our Savior is, to know that you serve a risen Savior, and sometimes you may feel like he's very far away, but he's not. He is alive, and his Spirit is in you if you trust in him, and he is with you today, and you can walk with him today. Let's stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed to our small groups tonight.